All right, Psalm chapter 56 for the reading of the Word of God. Stand with me if you're able. If you're not, that's okay. But if you are, stand with me. Reverence to God's precious Word. The Bible said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." In verse 3, the psalmist David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." In verse 4, "In God I will praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." If correctly read, that's the first four verses of Psalm 56. You can be seated. Please pray for us and pray with us. Our Father, today we want to thank You for the precious Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for Your people. Thank You, God, for keeping us through this past year. Lord, it could have been a different story. You've been so good. And I do pray, our Father, that You'd help us today as we look into the Word of God to glean truth, our Lord. Truth that would sanctify us. Truth that would make us vessels that are meet for the Master's use. Truth, our Lord, that would create in us a foundation that when the world around us, our Lord, is rocking and reeling and unsettled, God, that our hearts could be settled in Thee. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for giving Your life that we might have life abundantly while here on the earth and eternally when we leave this earth with Thee. Lord, we love You. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Not too long ago, I asked a young lady what her favorite verse of Scripture was. And she answered me. She said Psalm 56:3. And in that moment, I didn't know what Psalm 56:3 said. And she quoted the verse to me, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee." I believe that I would call the message this morning, "What time I'm afraid." First, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from the book of Job. You all are aware that Job was an upright man. Job was a man that feared God, a man that eschewed evil. In other words, he was serious about the things of God. He was serious about his family. He was serious about a prayer life. And yet Job said in chapter 3 and verse 25, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." I thought about Job. I thought about this verse of Scripture and who's writing this verse of Scripture. None other than the psalmist David. He was a man of war. He was a man that in one place the Word of God said that he took on a lion. In another place he took on a bear. We know that he went out in the valley and faced the giant of Gath, the Philistine, Goliath. And we know that he was a man that when they were looking for a king, he was an unlikely candidate. I want to ask you this morning, how many's here today that's glad that God can use the unlikely? If you would have known me in school or high school or even my young adult life, you would say he is the last person on earth
that would be standing in a place like this, behind a book like this, talking to a people like this. Two words, but God. Oh, I was headed down the wrong road, but God. He intervened in my heart. He intervened in my life. And how I thank Him. There's a reason I believe that God is leading this way today. I got a call this morning from my sister. I told you just a couple of weeks ago that had a first cousin that was 58 years old. They found her on the floor in her own home. This morning I learned of a second cousin that's 29 years old that passed away. I don't know the details. I don't know what happened. It gets even closer to home than that. I believe it was Friday morning. Miss Eve could probably tell you for sure, but I'm almost positive it was Friday morning because I've only slept one night since then. That would have been Saturday night. Early Friday morning, I had a nightmare. I mean a nightmare. I sat up in the bed. What came out of my mouth was, "Oh, my Lord, no." Pastor, why would you say that? Because I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how strong you are. There are things that can strike fear in your heart, even as a child of God. And David, in the passage, he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." To get the setting for the message, we're not going to go there and go through it all. But if you go back to 1 Samuel 27, you find out that David is fleeing from Saul. And David has really run to the wrong place, Brother Steve. He's run down to the Philistines. He's taken 600 men with him. And he's fleeing from Saul. Saul is hunting him like a dog. You say, "Pastor, why would you bring that up?" Sometimes the fear comes in our life because of choices that we make. Sometimes, beloved, the fear it comes in our life has nothing to do with the choices that we make, but rather just this sin-benighted world that we live in. Sin on every hand. The flesh, the Word of God said, is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I'm here to tell you today that the man that wrote this psalm was a man that the Word of God declared to be a man after God's own heart. He was not a man, beloved, that did not know the Lord. He was that shepherd boy that knew what it was to tend for the sheep, that knew what it was to take instructions from his father and go down to the battle and take the 10 cheeses and check on the brethren. He was a man that was submitted to the things of God. And yet there came a time when he was afraid. There came a time, beloved, when this man of God was afraid. I have three simple things on my heart today. We're going to be looking at a few passages in Psalm 56 and a few passages in Psalm 57. And I want you to glean with me, please, some things concerning the life of David that I believe when incorporated into our lives will help us in that time when we're afraid. Ask a question. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many in this building have ever had a time in your life, something just comes to your mind right quick, when you were afraid? Would you raise your hand? Okay. That looks like that's most of us. And those, beloved, that didn't raise your hand, I thank God But you need to understand that before the sun sets out there today, something could happen that strike fear in your heart and in your life. I want us to call to our attention this morning three simple things. First, I want you to see David's genuineness. David was a man that was real. He was a man that was genuine. I want to say this today. I'm afraid that in our country, there are so many, beloved, both in the political spectrum and in the religious spectrum, that are just in it for themselves. And they're not genuine servants of the people. And they're not genuine servants of the Most High God in the church. But David was genuine. You say, Pastor, how do you know he's genuine? Well, there's two things that David allows us to look into his life and see. His relationship with his enemies and his relationship with his calamities. Watch what the Word of God said in chapter 56 and verse 1 and 2. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up." He fighting, look at the next word, daily. Everywhere David looked, every day David looked out, the enemy was right there, desiring to consume him and swallow him up. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't have anything to do with us. Oh, yes, it does. We're not involved in a battle with swords and spears and guns and knives. And I'm going to say this, yet. God only knows what's coming. I don't know what's coming, and I'm not encouraging that. But I am saying this, there's some things worth fighting for. David, he said it's every day. The Word of God said that our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour my life, my ministry, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my church. He wants to devour every one of us. Thank God there's one standing between us and the devourer. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. David is genuine. Most guys, the big, tough warrior types, would never admit the things that David is willing to admit in these two chapters. We're looking at his genuineness. In verse number 2, he said, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." In chapter 56, verse 5 and 7, he said, "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves." Most of the time, that's the way the enemy is. He's like a termite. Light will kill him. But he operates in the shadows. And he operates in the darkness. He said, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. It's kind of like a wolf. Very seldom do you find them hunting alone. They hunt in packs. I will say this morning. I have a heavenly Father. I don't care how big the pack is. I have an elder brother, a Savior in the Lord Jesus. I don't care how big the pack is. They're not too big for them. Thank God this morning. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. David is genuine. He's laying it out there for all to see. Notice, if you will, in chapter 57, in verse number 1, the calamities. We see his genuineness when it comes to his enemies. We see his genuineness when it comes to the calamities. Beloved, Job, later in Job 14:1, said this, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble." I will tell you this, I'm 61. When those numbers were turned around and I was 16, I didn't understand that near as much as I do today. Beloved, trouble Job said, yet trouble came. David, in verse number 1 of chapter 57, he said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Beloved, the trouble's coming. It'll come for you. It'll come for me. David was honest enough, genuine enough, to share with you and share with me what's going on in his heart. As he finds himself down there with the Philistines, with the enemy, hiding from Saul. It's hunting him like a dog. We see in chapter number 57, verse 4, he said, "My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword." I believe with all of my heart this morning, we're looking into the life of a man that was genuine. He's not a fake. He's real. When you look in a man's life like that and his relationship with the God of heaven, you can glean hope, realizing that God is no respecter of person. Brother Michael, God didn't think one bit more of David than he does of you. Brother Justin, he didn't think one bit more of David than he does of you. God is no respecter of person. We see David's genuineness. The second thing I want to turn your attention to this morning is David's godliness. In David's godliness, he turns to the Word. He turns, beloved, and trusts in the Lord. And he takes it to the Lord in prayer. Have you ever thought about Philippians chapter 4, where the Bible said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." I asked myself the question years ago, what is the difference between worry and concern? What's the difference? I say this to you this morning. You're not worth your salt if you're not concerned about our country. You're not worth your salt if you're not concerned about our church. You're not worth your salt if you're not concerned about your family. Yet God tells us not to worry. What's the difference? Here's what I believe the difference is. Worry frets. What are we going to do? How are we going to do? We'll never be able to do. Concern takes it to the Lord in prayer. We should be concerned. The verse of Scripture you put up there, Brother Steve, We should be praying for those that are in authority. We should be praying for our country. We should be praying for sinners. We should be praying for the church. We should be praying for our family. But in godliness, we see that our worry disappears and turns into concern that takes it to the Lord in prayer. Let me show you. Look in chapter 56 and verse number 9. David said, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. Watch this now. Look at these next three words. This I know. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how deep the valley gets. There's some things God's people ought to know and have them nailed down. He said, this I know, for God is for me. The Apostle Paul said it like this, if God be for us, who can be against us? This I know. What did David know in that time that he was afraid? First of all, he knew that God is merciful. Do you know what the devil, what the enemy will try to convince you? He'll try to convince you that God's run out of mercy. You may be sitting here today. You may be living a life and you've blown it again and again and again. I want to tell you, God has mercy again and again and again. For every day, God has mercy. Watch what the Bible said. Chapter 56, verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Look at chapter 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. The first thing that comes out of David's mouth, he's saying, oh God, I need mercy. You know what I believe? I believe we need mercy more than we know we need mercy. He knew that he needed mercy. Look at verse 10 of chapter 57. For thy mercy is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. God's got enough mercy, it's stacked up. It reaches the heavens. His truth, the clouds. And when mercy and truth are met together, beloved, God will see his youngins through that valley, that dark place, that time when they're afraid. The Word of God said, this I know. He knew God was merciful. Not only that, he knew that he could trust God. I'll never forget this. I don't know who the preacher was. It happens that way sometimes. Maybe it's the title of a message. Maybe it's an illustration in the message. But everybody's got something that they remember. And I remembered the title of this man's message. This man's message was titled, You Can Trust God When You Cannot Track Him. In other words, you may not know what he's up to. You may not know what he's doing. You may not be able to follow his processes. But thank God you can still trust him. He's trustworthy. This kind of preaching is one thing when things are going well. But I've had to ask myself the question in the last couple days, what if that really happened? Would you still trust God? Would you still be able to stand and tell the folk, I can't track him, but I can trust him? David's genuine. We see his genuineness. We see his godliness. His faith comes out in verse number 3. He said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Maybe that's why the Word of God said perfect love. I believe it's in 1 John. Casteth out fear. At a time in our lives, sometimes when we ought to be running to Him, we're running from Him. When we ought to be thanking Him and praising Him, we're doubting Him. And sometimes even accusing Him. David said, this I know. I know that God is merciful. I know I can trust Him. In chapter number 56 and verse number 11, he said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. In verse 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wait a minute now. I want you to see something right here. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? I want you to see something. Everybody look at me just a minute. It would be foolish for pastor to trust God with his soul and then not trust God with whatever else comes. Amen. David said, Lord, he said, you've delivered my soul from death. Lord, I'm not going to hell because you saved my soul. And he said, I'm confident. You're going to deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. David, he said, this I know. It comes out and he knows God is merciful. He knows that God can be trusted. There's something else that David knows. He knows that God hears him. Did you talk to him this morning? Brother John, it just came to my mind. Something, I may not get it exactly right, but I've heard you say it in Sunday school. There's times when I prayed. And there's other times when I prayed. How many can understand that right there? If we'd all be honest, there's times we're just going through the motions. And there's times when we pour our heart out to God. There's times when you can't even say anything. Because your heart is so broke. And the Word of God tells us in Romans that the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Personally, I think that's some of the best praying we ever do in our life. David, over and over here, he said, I know he's merciful. I know I can trust him. I know he hears me. Watch what the Bible said. Chapter 56, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put down my tears. Wait a minute. This is that warrior. This is that tough guy. This is that guy, beloved, listen, that can take on a lion and take on a bear and take on a giant. But there's tears running down this guy's cheek. He said, God, put them in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He said, when I cry unto thee, I will tell you, I'm not a preacher that believes that we cannot have revival. I'm not. I believe we can have revival. I believe we can have an old-fashioned, amen, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival. Here's what I believe, not without crying unto Him. You know when revival's going to come? When we get desperate for revival. David, in his hour of desperation, is crying unto the Lord. In verse number 8 and verse number 9, if you look at chapter 57 and verse number 2, he says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. I'm not trying to be mean, but he wasn't crying to Mary. He wasn't crying to John. He wasn't crying out to the saints. He was crying out to the Savior. There's one intercessor, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God must carry our prayers to our mediator. Our mediator carries our prayers to the Father. Think about that. David, we see his genuineness. We see his godliness. What time I'm afraid. God, help me to be genuine, even when I'm afraid. God, help me to be godly, even when I'm afraid. And then the last thing in the message that I want to bring your attention today, we see David's genuineness and we see his godliness, but I want you to see with me for just a few moments his glory. You say, preacher, we're going to look at David's glory. Look in verse number 8 of chapter 57. And we'll back up on some of the text. David said, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. You know what I believe? I believe there was a time in David's life where he hung his harp on the willow. He didn't have a song in his heart. He was too busy looking at the enemy. He was too busy running from the enemy. He was too busy, just the way you and I are sometimes, of trying to figure it out on our own. Just like Abraham did when he went down to Egypt. Things don't get better when you go against God's plan. They always get worse. David said, wake up, my glory. Look at his glory. David wanted us to see the glory in his worship. Look at chapter 57, verse number 8 through verse number 11. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I'll tell you something right now. Here's a man that's praising God and giving God glory when he don't feel like it. The enemy's still out there. The enemy's still hunting him. I'll just say this. It's one thing to praise him when everything's going well. It's another thing to praise him when you don't understand. When you're hurt. David, the man after God's own heart, he's opened up his life in this book. Let us look into his life and see. You can be genuine even when it's not popular to be genuine. You can be godly even when, humanly speaking, there's no reason to be godly. We see it in David's worship. Not only is he going to glory in worship, but he's going to glory in the Word. This is important. Don't miss this. Look at Psalm 56 and chapter 56, verse 4. He said, in God will I praise His Word. I'm going to make a statement. Most people, beloved, listen, one of the first mistakes they make in their life is laying this book down. If ever there's a time in our life, we need to draw near to God. It's when we're afraid. Get the book down. What God was saying to me yesterday, you may not understand, but I understand. God was saying there was a lot better man than you that was afraid. It's okay. It's okay to be afraid. He glories in worship. He glories in the Word. Again, in verse number 10, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Somebody said this one time. It was a little bit funny, a little bit humorous. They were having one of those services where people were quoting Scripture. And the first guy stood up, said, okay, brother. He stood up. He said, Jesus wept. He sat down. The next guy stood up and pastor said, go ahead. He said, he got my verse. That's about how much Bible a lot of people know. A lot of people, if they're put on the spot, couldn't quote John 3:16. I'll tell you this, I've said it for years. If our heart's right with God, we couldn't quote it, we couldn't read it, we couldn't hear somebody read it or quote it without thanking God. It's one thing. Listen to me. When the Word of God said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But why don't you just plug your name in right there? That's where worship comes from. For God so loved Richard, Timothy, Vinoy, that He gave His Son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross. So that I could go be with Him one day. So that one time I'm afraid, I can still trust Him. So that regardless of what I go through in this world, I don't have to go through it alone. Brother Gary, because He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's going with us all the way. Glory in worship, glory in the Word. I'll give you one more thing. Somebody prayed a while ago because old Slewfoot tried to close my throat completely up, didn't he? That's all right. He didn't want it said. And I understand that, amen. Watch this. There's another place here where David wants us to see that he glories in. That's his wanderings. Look in verse number 8. He said, thou tellest my wanderings. Now, wait a minute. You say, pastor, why would that be there in the Word of God? Well, Brother Rose, you sang a song a while ago. This world is not my home. I worship this morning the God of heaven because like the people in the book of Hebrews, turn there with me, Hebrews 11 quickly. I'll close with this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me read this passage of Scripture. Everybody knows chapter 11 is full of people that were faithful, that died in faith. David's name is mentioned in chapter number 11. You say, but preacher, David made some horrible mistakes in his life. I'm going to tell you something right now. If God excluded all the people that's made horrible mistakes in their life, we'd all be excluded. Somebody say amen. I'm glad he included me. Watch this now in verse number 13, chapter number 11 of Hebrews. The Bible said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'll say this morning. The older I get, the more I feel like I'm just wandering in this world that we live in. A pilgrim. The Bible said, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now, oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody here today that desires a better country? I'm talking about a country where there's no more devil. A country where there's no more flesh. A country where there's no more sin. A country where there's no more pain. A country where there's no more death. A country, beloved, listen, where Jesus Himself is the light of that city. I thought about this. A country where there's no more sea. You know what the seas do? They separate the continents. So in that new heaven, in that new earth, it looks to me like, beloved, listen, there's not going to be a sea to separate. Everybody that's there came the same way. They came by Calvary. The Word of God said here, now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. John talked about it being as a bride adorned for her husband. I can go back in my mind to Faith Baptist Church in Joppa, Maryland. When they opened the doors in the back of that church, that preacher wasn't fat, he was just heavyset. I was standing up there with that preacher. They opened them doors. And that woman sitting over yonder, she was the most beautiful thing I ever laid eyes on. Now let me fix that. She still is. But these eyes are going to behold one day after a while, something even more beautiful than my earthly bride. They're going to behold my heavenly bridegroom. They're going to behold the bride of Christ. They're going to behold that city which is coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Today, what time I'm afraid, we see David's genuineness, his godliness, and his glory. May those same characteristics be found in our life. Whether we're on the mountain or somewhere on the side of the mountain, in the valley, whether the sun is shining or the storms are raging, may God find us like this man after God's own heart. May we not run to the Philistines. For years, I've observed you can take families that go through a very similar trial. One gets closer to the Lord, closer to the church. And someone else just goes away. I want to say this. As much as that breaks a pastor's heart, how much more so does it break a Savior's heart? You could trust me when things are going well, but you can't trust me now. Makes no sense, does it? You can trust me with your soul, but you can't trust me with the storm. It makes no sense. I say today, thank God we can trust Him. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Thank you for praying. Our Father today, I don't claim to know, Lord, the hearts of the people that are here today. But I do know your heart, Lord. And I do know, Lord, that I've stood and given to my precious people what you've given me. God, I thank you for David. Lord, in his life, I see hope for my life. I see that he was able to overcome. Lord, I pray that as we sit here today, there may be somebody, Lord, that, Lord, are wondering, where you at? Why? Lord, may I remind our precious people that from the cross of Calvary, our Savior cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, I pray today that this message would find a lodging place in every heart and every life. Those, our Father, that have not yet trusted you as their Savior would understand, our Lord, there's a day coming when it'll be too late. Help them, Lord, not to boast of tomorrow because we don't know what another day brings forth. Now is the accepted time, Lord. Now is the day of salvation. I pray, God, you'd save that one, our Lord. Lord, no doubt that young man that was 29 years old, no doubt his family, my first cousin, thought that his son had many years to live. Truly, Lord, we don't know. Lord, we do know you're merciful. We do know we can trust you. We do know, our Father, that when we pray, you hear us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.